Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Wings Christian Fellowship Sunday morning discussion group. This morning we are in Matthew chapter 18, and I think we read through verse 11, but let's start at verse 11 and read that and keep going forward from there. And whose turn is it to read today? And Brenda, I don't want to throw too much on you because I know that you're going to deliver the service this morning. But would you mind praying for us?
Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness unto us. Mm-hmm. And Lord, how you're ever speaking. Give us ears to hear, spirit to obey, O God, and for your love to flow forth from us to all that we need. We thank you and ask that you be in control of both services and be glorified. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm starting to read at verse 12 in Matthew 18. You said 11. You say 11. Start at 11.
Yeah.
Yeah. Throw 11 in there.
Start at 11. For the Son of Man came to save from the penalty of eternal death that which was lost. So what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray and gets lost, will he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go in search of the one that is lost? And if it should be that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices more over it than over the 99 that did not get lost. Just so it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost and perish. So if your brother wrongs you, go and show him his fault between you and him privately. And if he listens to you, you have won back your brother. But if he does not listen, take along with you one or two others so that the word may be confirmed and upheld by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he pays no attention to them, refusing to listen and obey, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a pagan and a tax collector. Because truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. Should I go on?
One more verse.
Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make a symphony together, about whatever, anything, and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for him by my Father in heaven.
Okay. Well, that is a mouthful, isn't mm-hmm. it? And somehow, in the light of the fact that Jesus gave his life to save us, it's hard for me to listen to laws. And that's what it feels like this is. You know, I know that it's on a one-to-one basis, but I don't know that we ever see this happening in a church based on these these verses.
Probably it has not.
Yes.
Especially those under the law and are abiding by the law.
And it must be a spiritual law. It must be a law coming from the Spirit of God in your heart, you know, to go to a person one-on-one before you go to every other person and talk about them behind their back. Go to them. Whoever the person is who has.
Soon be talking about.
That's right. That's right. Let that person be the one you go to and explain, you know, something that he might not have even understood that he did, or a word that he might have used that was offensive, or something he did. You know, it's hard for me to even comprehend. I know people who have done that, gone to a person and told them something that they did, totally unaware that they were doing it, and it worked very well. The person received it with great happiness. I'm so glad you told me. I didn't realize, you know, it was years and years and years ago, and both of those parties are long gone home to the Lord. My sister Linda and Lily. And I can't even remember any of what happened, but somehow.
If a person is really open, I believe they want God regardless of.
Yeah.
In their heart.
Yes.
They're wanting God, yes, and to please God. And even if they may not even completely agree with what is being told them, mm-hmm, they're open to consider and to hear it fully.
Absolutely.
I think there has to be an acceptance and forgiveness to that person before you even go to them, because you're going to go in love, mm-hmm, to them. Mm-hmm.
There's so much. It would be so easy in those situations for Adam to jump up, you know, and to try and to have resentment in your heart and to have pride in the heart of the hearer. And I mean, so many little things could go wrong if the Spirit of the Lord is not preeminent in that, both in the person who was offended and in the person who accidentally or on purpose offended. Wow. That is a hard thing for me to learn to do. Usually when I hate to even say this, but it's true that if I go to somebody, it usually is with at least a microcosm of resentment and sarcasm and Adamic things in my heart.
No matter how small you think it is, if it's there, then it's still,
that's right,
not agreeable,
yes,
with God.
Yes. And
God is taking me through a lot of things, and like I told you, and
that is
gone to a person and even family member, mm-hmm, and if it was not, many times, sometimes I have said something. God said, it may be true what you said, but that's how you, mm-hmm, said it. Mm-hmm. And it was not with love, even though the fact, mm-hmm, was true. God is wanting us to be humble. Mm-hmm. And so I went to your parents speak this morning in the church. I'm going to tell you the things I went through and the humbling and the... how to humble us in situations and things.
I see humility and being humbled in a lot of the teachings that pop up in front of me, you know, when I'm just reading, mm-hmm, or doing it. I think God is trying to work on us in the area of humility, being, mm-hmm, right-sized. Knowing who we are in God, having a proper identity, can lift us up, but it has to lift us up in humility. That is all by the grace of God. We are children of God, and so many things there are out there to lift us up. Jesus said, the things that I do, you will do in greater things, because I go to the Father. Mm-hmm. And even in something like, I mean, he's always building us up and telling us how beloved we are, but yet we always have to remember that it's all because of the grace of God. Every single thing that we have become and are becoming is all by the grace of God.
Yes.
And not of ourselves that any man, mm-hmm, should boast.
No.
Anybody else? Let's chat about it a little bit. Somebody besides me.
It's hard to be humble.
It is. Especially when you're offended.
Especially when you're offended.
Right. Who does he think he is? Yeah. Doesn't he know who I am? You know, that sort of thing. And you know, the truth is, 99% of the time, he doesn't know who he is. Mm-hmm. Who does he think he is? He doesn't know who he is, or he or she. And who does he think I am? Well, he probably doesn't know who mm-hmm. we are, because we probably don't have a clear vision of who we are in Christ. Mm-hmm. And the love and the conscious humility how great he is, and only by that greatness do we become and are becoming and have been since the foundation of the earth, and yet we are being processed and still will be processed, you know, and we are still becoming.
Yes.
When we see yes. him as he is, oh Lord, in us, through us, with us, among us, he is everything. Everything all at one time in eternity. Wow. I mean, it really does escape our ability to comprehend the things that God has prepared for us and truly who we are in him.
Mm-hmm.
And who our brother is mm-hmm. in him, and who our sister is in him. I'm just going to read that in the Passion. See what that says. The Passion Bible. The Son of Man has come to give life to anyone who is lost.
Now, what verse was this in?
I'm starting at 11.
All right.
Think of it this way. If a man owns 100 sheep and one lamb wanders away and is lost, won't he leave the 99 grazing on the hillside and go out and thoroughly search for the one lost lamb? And if he finds his lost lamb, he rejoices over it. Oh, I have to stop right there just for a second. Do you ever have a dog that you loved more than anything? You know, your sweet little dog that gives you so much unconditional love, and he gets away and runs away. You don't know rejoicing until you know what it feels like to find that dog. Just, you know, have it jump into your arms and lick you all over your face, and you're just so happy. I know Margaret knows what that feels like, because remember when she talked about her little one-eyed dog that had the tongue that hung out the side, and he got away? Yes. Oh, Gabby. The tears, the happiness, and the joy.
I remember when my big dog got out one morning, and I didn't know it, and I was getting ready to go to work, and then I noticed the side gate was unlatched because I had gates on both sides that had locks on them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened. I don't know if somebody didn't lock it or what, but he got out, and I said, oh, no, because in that area where I lived at, they would take dogs and they wouldn't bring them back.
Oh, yeah.
So I went looking for them. I said, gee, I wonder if you went up this way. I want to walk that way. I said, and I always took him for a walk. I took him down to where the high school was, and I let him, you know, get his exercise out in the schoolyard. So I said, well, let me go down that way. Sure enough, he was down that area, and he was heading up toward the mountain. I said,
oh.
And it was wet, I said. So I went past him, turned my car around, and stopped. I said, come here. And his ears perked up, because he didn't know where he was at. And he come running and jumped into the car. So, I said, well, I'm glad I found you, because if you'd got up in the mountains, you'd have been up there.
Did you call him by name?
Oh, yeah, his name was Titus.
Yes. He knows my name.
Yeah,
wow,
he was
God.
He was a Rottweiler.
Yeah.
Raleigh got away that one time. And people said, yeah, we saw her running around here, and I'm looking around the block. And I went around the block looking for her, and come back to the driveway, and there she was, sitting in front of the garage door.
Found her way back.
Hallelujah.
I remember one dog I had was a Dachshund, and he got out. And I remember seeing a guy that lived up a couple blocks up, he had a Dachshund just the same color and everything. And he was walking his dog down on my street. And when my dog got out, and I'm pretty sure that he went up that way, and he wasn't gonna bring him back.
Really?
Yeah, because his Dachshund, my Dachshund, looked like they could have been brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, hey, you know, I'm not gonna, in that area where I lived at, you don't go out and crease anybody or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, California.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking, isn't that the way, when I'm talking about Molly, isn't that the way we can be? You know, we'd be walking with the Lord, and then we decide we're going to go out and do our thing, and we're running around, and yet we're always coming right back to where we started.
You come back to
where
familiar.
We should be.
You come back to the familiar.
I thought it was unusual when I read this verse 13. It says, the shepherd. If he loses a sheep, and he says, and if he finds it, if he finds his one lost lamb, he rejoices over it. If, because sometimes people go, or pets staying in the in the thought, and you never see them again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it is with lost lambs in the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
If you find them, rejoice over them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you find them, because they might, you know, it's a hard world out there. He rejoices over it more than over the 99 who are safe. Now, you should understand that it is never the desire of your Heavenly Father that a single one of these humble believers should be lost. Mm-hmm. Well, doesn't he do everything after the counsel of his own will? It's not his desire that a single one of these humble believers should be lost. Well, guess what? Not a single one will be lost.
Sorry.
He's got it all under control. Praise you, Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. If your fellow believer sins against you, you must go to that one privately and attempt to resolve your matter. Let me see, there is a footnote there. Okay, although the words against you are not found in most reliable Greek manuscripts, they are included in the Hebrew, Matthew, and Aramaic, along with a number of Greek texts. The Hebrew, Matthew, indicates that Jesus addressed these words to Peter directly. Isn't that interesting? Wow.
Huh. Yeah, but then you go over further, it speaks of Peter, but yeah.
Okay, so he's speaking directly, or at least one person says that he was speaking these words to Jesus, to Peter directly. If your fellow believer sins against you, you must go to that one privately and attempt to resolve the matter. If he responds, your relationship is restored.
Mm-hmm.
But if his heart is closed to you, then go to him again, taking one or two others with you. You'll be fulfilling what the scripture teaches when it says every word may be verified by the testimony of two or three witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And if he refuses to listen, I hate this part, that's me saying that, not the scriptures. If he refuses to listen, Then share the issue with the entire church in hopes of restoration. Wow. If he still refuses to respond, disregarding the fellowship of his church family, you must disregard him as though he were an outsider, on the same level as an unrepentant sinner. I don't know. Wow. A lot of love has to go into that.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of love.
God says that his love covers and it should, and if it's not being brought forth in love, it shouldn't be brought forth.
Mm-hmm. Even an unrepentant sinner, we would still pray for. Maybe even more than we would pray for our brothers and sisters. You know, we're still praying for salvation for the lost world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that person would just seem to go into the a different bucket of prayer. But in all things, praying for God's will to be done in every life.
Yes.
Because if you pray according to God's will, and that is the will of God, it will be done. No sense praying for things that are against the will of God, because they will not.
It's futile.
They will hit the ceiling and bounce right back.
We want to go to 19.
Sure.
Says again. Wait a minute. I do my law. This is my law. A water alarm. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together,
mm-hmm.
make a symphony together about. Did I already read that? I might have. Whatever, anything and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven.
Uh-huh.
For wherever two or three are gathered, drawn together as my followers into my name,
mm-hmm.
there I am in the midst of them.
Okay. You know what's interesting about that? Because it says, and we all have heard this so many times, that whatever you touch a thing on earth, it shall be done in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And if you loose a thing on earth, it shall be loosed in heaven. In the Passion Bible, it says, excuse me, one second here. Receive this truth. Receive this truth. Whatever you forbid on earth will be considered to be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you release on earth will be considered to be released in heaven. Again, I give you an eternal truth. If two of you agree to ask God for something in a symphony of prayer, my Heavenly Father will do it for you. For wherever two or three come together in honor of my name, I am right there with them. Whatever you forbid on earth, have you ever forbidden something on earth?
Mm-hmm.
I have.
Yes, and we've prayed for someone to be loose that is bound.
Yes, yes.
And when we have went to them to do so,
mm-hmm.
we've made sure that those that are there are one accord,
mm-hmm.
in agreement, and believe in God, because especially with some casting,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
then if you're there and not part of the harmony or the oneness, you're some,
mm-hmm.
subject to whatever is loosed.
Okay. Casting. I had a situation the other day, I don't think I have even mentioned this to Mike. You know, my brother has been so sick. And it has gotten him so depressed. And his attitude is so, and I've tried to speak to him and encourage him. And I felt really strongly the other day when I woke up, I was gonna go to see him. And I felt the Lord telling me, stop talking to him. You talk to the disease.
Oh yeah.
And I went down that day and I said, I've been feeling led to pray in this certain way, Mike, for a few days now. And I'm going, and man, before I could even get those words out of my mouth, that spirit came upon me of rise up. And I stood up and I said, you evil, disgusting, putrid, you know, you have no authority here. Yeah. Get out of this body. This is a child of God. You have no, you know. And I went on for 2 or 3 minutes. Pretty soon, my sister-in-law, she was there. Yes, yes, yes. I don't really know exactly how he took it because I didn't ask him. But I felt a release. And 2 or 3 days later, they went to they got a very encouraging word from a doctor, from a second opinion, very encouraging word. And I thought, wow, this is, he still had this spirit of depression still seems to be on him, but I'm beginning to see there is a purpose to this. There is a Job quality about it. Mm-hmm. You know, where were you when I hate to take the chance that you can hear this, but I don't think so. That, you know, where he said to Job, where were you when I hung the stars? And I see that he's feeling, oh my God, what have I ever done to deserve this? Why have you forsaken me? And yet I see a purpose in it that is so far above anything that he could hear or think. You know, that
when you're speaking, God is saying to me, it's combined with fear.
Uh-huh.
There is fear there too.
Oh.
I mean, when you're sick and you're not getting better.
No.
So you know the next step could be death.
Yes.
That there's
He says, I pray that every night when I go to sleep, God take me home so I don't have to have another terrible day.
He says this. Yeah.
It won't happen. He's going to get better. And when he starts to feel better, he will see the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
There is a purpose. I am greatly encouraged.
Yes.
That he will come out of this. He will be a different man when he comes out of it. He
a
will
testimony.
Know the length and the breadth and the depth of the love of God.
A testimony.
Yes. Okay, I hope he doesn't hear this, Lord. That'd be one where he'd have to come to me in humility and tell me I offended him for speaking this out.
All right, in the next verse 21, it says that then Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how many times may my brother sin against me, and I forgive him and let it go? As many as, up to 7 times? And Jesus answered him, I tell you, not up to 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a human king. Now he's going to give a parable.
who wished to settle accounts with his attendants. And when he began the accounting, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, probably about 10,000, well, 10 million or so, isn't it right?
Yeah.
Dollars. And because he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and everything that he possessed, and payment to be made. So the attendant fell on his knees, begging him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And his master's heart was moved with compassion, and he released him and forgave him, canceling the debt. But that same attendant, as he was found and went out, found one of his fellow attendants who owed him 100 denarii, and about $20. Mm. And he caught him by the throat and said, "Pay whatever you owe." Mm. So this fellow attendant fell down and begged him earnestly, "Give me time and I will pay you all." But he was willing,
unwilling,
and he went out and had him put in prison till he should pay the debt. And when his fellow attendants saw what happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and told everything that had taken place to their master. Then his master called him and said to him, "You contemptible and wicked attendant, I forgave and canceled all that great debt of yours because you begged me to. And should you not have had pity and mercy on your fellow attendant as I had pity and mercy on you?" And in wrath, his master turned him over to the torturers, the jailers, till he should pay all that he owed. So also, my heavenly Father will deal with every one of you if you do not freely forgive your brother from your heart his offenses.
That's another hard saying. Matthew's dishing it out to us. Let me read you in somewhere in here. It referenced Colossians chapter 3,
right.
And it says there at verse 12. This is from the Passion Bible.
Mm-hmm.
"You are always and dearly loved by God." We are all always and dearly loved by God. "So robe yourself with virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others." Wow. See, that's hard. We assume a lot about others. Well, he's just this and he thinks he's this and that. We have no idea what's going on in another man's heart, what his fears are.
What we assume is really not real nor true.
That's right. Okay, so be merciful as you endeavor to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith. Wow. You know, we expect a lot of the people in the family of faith. You know, what, and you call yourself a Christian? You know, all that. We all have weaknesses yet. Many weaknesses. And our brothers and sisters all have weaknesses too. So tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way that you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. I'm going to have this thing printed and put it on my refrigerator door. I mean, this is just like boom, boom, boom. Forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. I would not want the list of the things that I have done that have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ to be posted on the door of the church. I would not want, you know, the shame and the humility that I feel, the humbleness to have been forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. Mm-hmm. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love, wow, love flows through each virtue of God.
Covers.
Love becomes the mark of true maturity. And it says the Aramaic is sometimes translated the girdle of maturity.
Mm.
And what was that thing about put on the whole armor of God?
Yes.
Yes. Mm. What is the whole armor? Let me see this. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on, okay, what would be called the girdle, the belt of truth, the armor of God, the belt of truth buckled around my waist. I am safe and secure with the breastplate of righteousness, guarding my heart from evil, helping me to live a life that honors you, God. I diligently put on the gospel shoes of peace, willing to do whatever you ask of me. I take and stand behind the shield of faith. Protected against Satan's fiery darts of doubt, fear, lies, and deceit, that shield of faith. Now on my head I place the helmet of salvation, keeping my mind focused on you, single-eyed toward God. I grab hold in my hand the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, sharp and true. Beautiful. Good words. But through all of these things, there runs the river of love. It's all rooted and grounded in love. In the end, love is all there is. Love is all there is. When we reach that plateau where no matter what, our reaction will be love. Just the same way as our Father God, no matter what we've done, his reaction is love.
Yeah.
And through that love, sometimes discipline. And discipline is not to be offensive to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a learning, it's a growing, and it's something that God does through his love.
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else?
Don't you see when he talks about the breastplate over the heart?
Yes.
Because out of the heart flows what comes out of his mouth. Where is it?
Yes.
From the heart.
Mm-hmm. And if we could get that one discipline.
Mm.
If I go to open my mouth and say something and it's not out of love, wouldn't it be wonderful if God would just zip your mouth shut for you? But
I think it's even more important there is our openness, that what he does in our heart, our very being, that really sets forth what is going to come out of this mouth because of what God has done within our very being.
I think that's one of the biggest reasons why, and one of the biggest processing things that we have to learn is about the tongue, and sometimes to not speak until we've allowed the Spirit of God to give us the proper reaction. Sometimes the first thing that comes out of the mouth is not the thing that God wishes. It's the thing that Adam wishes. But to just hold our peace. I love that song because I always sing it instead of hold my peace. And I know this is another definition of the word, be quiet. It says hold your peace. If I shut my mouth and let the Lord do my fighting. Victory. Yes, victory now is mine.
Oh, yes.
If I shut my mouth until He tells me what to say. God is good. What time is it, guys? No. It is 10 till. Anybody have another nugget of truth there? Buddy or Mike?
Not me.
You want to stop there then for the day?
Yeah,
you have anything else, Brenda?
We have to learn to forgive ourselves before we can forgive someone else.
And God deals with that.
Exactly.
My goodness. He imparts sin before He sends you forth to do it. Oh, yes. Because we can live in condemnation. And we've not forgiven ourselves, we're condemning, oh, I did this, I shouldn't have said that, I did that. Mm-hmm. And, but God's ever forgiving us, ever.
We can condemn our enemies when we should be condemning ourselves.
Or forgiving. We should be forgiving our enemies as we should be forgiving ourselves.
Mm-hmm. You know, or pick a winner.
Yes. I saw this thing online the other day. It's a tree, but the top half got messed up. But it says, who we are in Christ. We are more than conquerors.
Yes.
We are a child of God.
Yes.
We are a new creation. There has never been a creation like us.
No.
The spiritual oneness with God Almighty. And First Peter says we are a chosen generation.
Yes.
Ephesians chapter 2 says we are God's masterpiece.
Mm.
I would like to sit and dwell on these for a while.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. Colossians 1 says we are redeemed. Redeemed. We could spend an hour talking about the word redeemed. Ephesians 1:7 says we are forgiven. And Jeremiah 31 says we are loved. My goodness.
Yes.
Why
yes.
do we worry and fret? I laugh at myself sometimes. The older I get, I know I've said this before because I've been obsessing about it. The older I get, why do I worry so much about my body? Mm. Oh, I gotta take this supplement, I gotta take that, I gotta stay healthy, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. Oh, get these wrinkles off my face, let's put some of this on there. Oh, no, that's not any good, let's take this, let's put that on there, you know? And I think that it gives the Lord a lot of playful laughs about the fact. You know, people say we'll have a new body. We will have so much more than a new body. We will have the absolute essence of God in our being. I don't even know if I should call it a body. I don't know, because we don't know. We don't know what it will be, but we know that when we see Him as He is, we will be like Him. So let's close in a word of prayer and say, Lord Jesus,
yes.
When I grow up, I want to be just like You, Father.
Yes,
help
Lord.
Me, Lord Jesus. Help us all, Father.
Yes, Father.
We put ourselves before You
yes,
with humility.
We do,
and we just say thank You, Lord, for accepting us
Heavenly.
Into Your blessed blessed kingdom. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Help us, Lord, bring us along.
Yes.
Show us the way
yes.
to grow, to mature, to put that girdle of maturity
yes.
around us, Lord, that we can see every man as he is.
Yes.
Not see men as trees, but to see them as they are. Your beloved children. And help
yes.
us to have the same attitude toward each and every person as you have had toward us, Lord.
Yes.
Help us to help each person along as they're downtrodden, lift them up, Lord. If they need correction, help us to do it in love.
Yes.
Father, and to just hug them,
and
love, and grow up into you until we can be just like you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, Father. Bless Brenda as she brings the word today.
Yes.
Anointed, Father, anointed, and make it life.
Yes.
Life to the ears of those
yes,
who will
Lord.
Hear it, Father. And to all those who will hear it on the
yes.
the phone or whatever they're listening to it on. Father, we give this day to you.
Yes.
This day is not a special day. This day is the day of the Lord. This is every day. Every
yes,
day is the day of the Lord. Father, help us to just walk in.
Yes.
To walk calmly, Father. To let nothing bother us, Father. But to see you in all things because our eye is single towards you, Father.
Yes,
and when we turn our eye toward you, all the things
Thank
of this
you,
earth grow strangely dim, and the things of God just increase in brightness and in glory. We give this day, we give our lives, we
yes,
give our being to you, Father, in the
yes,
name
Lord.
Of Jesus. Amen.